Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. There are certain events that occur, and they often are tragedies, where we remember exactly where we were and what we were doing when we first heard about them. September 11th, the Kennedy assassination, even the O.J. Simpson verdict. El Pasoans remember the first time they heard about a mass shooting at a Walmart. It may have started with a citywide text from police, or maybe it was frantic calls or texts from family and friends checking to see if you were okay because almost everyone went to that Walmart. Or it was rapidly changing developments from local and eventually national and international TV news. Hours later, it became known that it was a racist shooting and that the gunman drove hours and hours to El Paso to, quote, kill Mexicans in a response to what he called in his manifesto a Hispanic invasion of Texas. 23 people were killed. The massacre touched, saddened, and infuriated people around the world, but it also sparked acts of kindness and works of art in an effort to heal. Playwright Gregory Ramos taught for about 5 years at the University of Texas at El Paso's theater department and continues to have ties to that community. His response was to write Acts of Kindness, the El Paso play, a work that has undergone various transformations before its performance in El Paso on the weekend that marked 5 years since the shooting. Ramos remembers where he was when he first heard about the shooting and how it spurred him to action.
I was in Burlington, Vermont. I held a position as chair of the Department of Theater there for 13 years. The first news that I got of it actually was not through normal media, but in a typical El Paso way, I got the news from a friend. A friend called me immediately after the incident had taken place, and she filled me in on what was happening down there at the border. And then from there, I, you know, turned my attention to the national news. By then, the so-called manifesto that the shooter had posted on a website called 8chan was in the news. So by the time I started absorbing the information, it was clear that this was racially motivated. I probably responded in a similar way that folks in El Paso responded, at least the folks that I talked to in the course of creating the piece. And that was from the perspective of a community member. You know, on my mom's side of the family, my grandfather's from Jimenez in Chihuahua. Before he came to the States, he spent time in Ciudad Juarez and in El Paso. You know, we have family ties there. I had worked at the university. I have some very dear friends that live on the border. So, you know, when I go to El Paso, I feel like I'm kind of part of that community still, based on roots and based on my love for the place and my love for my close friends there. So I was devastated. I was devastated. And like many people in El Paso, you wonder, like, why here? Why would someone come to a community that is so tight-knit and so supportive and is isolated and is kind of off the grid from, you know, mainstream national conversations? Typically, although one of the kind of themes that emerges in the play is that El Paso had been placed in the spotlight in a national way because of some political rhetoric that was happening and incidences that were happening around immigration at that time. And, you know, you start connecting the dots leading to this particular event. So that's a long-winded way of saying there were a lot of pieces of the puzzle that I was wrestling with, as was the community in El Paso.
And almost immediately after this happened, the artistic community responded. I remember having gone there from San Antonio. They knew that I was from El Paso, and so they sent me a few days later to cover sort of the aftermath. And by then, songs had been written, murals were being painted, songs were being sung. The artistic community responds in a way to disaster, to politics, to any other event in a way that I don't think any other genre could.
I mean, I think that's sort of the fabric of being an artistic person, right? We respond to questions and problems and issues that we face as humanity by making the art, right? I think at its heart, what art is trying to do is remind us that we are all the same, if not actually one thing.
So tell us about how this tragedy inspired you to write Acts of Kindness.
As it happened, I was on sabbatical from my academic position and had actually been working on a different project. And I switched gears and focused on this. Much of the work that I had done in the past was based on interview work, or, you know, in fancy terms, we call it ethnographic theater, talking to people, collecting oral histories, doing interviews, and then using that as inspiration to create the work. So I had done a number of these types of pieces before, but my instinct was to get to El Paso as soon as I could and start the interview process. So the event happened on August 3rd, 2019, and I was in El Paso in February and March of 2020, and would have stayed longer and collected more interviews had it not been for this thing called COVID that happened, which meant I ended up returning to Vermont. But I used the interviews that I had, then I did research around, you know, what was happening on a national level and how political figures and more well-known voices on that national level were responding to the event. And that's what was the inspiration for crafting the piece.
Well, I don't know if your play was named after this particular thing, but shortly after the shooting, there was an 11-year-old boy who's now 16, who on Twitter, his mother put out on social media that her son, her 11-year-old son, has a challenge for, and at this time, there were only 20 people who were confirmed dead, to do 20 acts of kindness in memory of all of the victims who had died. Those acts of kindness have unfortunately grown with the number of people who were killed as a result of that shooting.
What he thought of is the El Paso Challenge, daring people around the world to honor the 22 who died by performing 22 acts of kindness.
Like mowing a lawn, donating to charity.
I'm wondering if that viral challenge had anything to do with the inspiration behind this play.
It did, exactly. The title reverberates. I had learned about that young person's desire to do something for the community, and Acts of Kindness is such a beautiful title, but it also has meaning in that, from what I saw, that is what made this particular event different than other shootings we've seen in America, you know, over the last number of decades, unfortunately. But the community there has a special character, I would say, based on a number of things that we could go into. But what I saw and what I heard was acts of kindness in various different manifestations as a result of the tragedy.
Gregory Ramos is a playwright, director, and theater educator. He chairs the Department of Theater and Dance at the University of Redlands in Southern California. Ramos wrote Acts of Kindness, the El Paso play, as a response to the mass shooting at an El Paso Walmart on August 3rd, 2019. When we come back, Acts of Kindness was first performed as a reading in California, but its stage performance in El Paso had an emotional impact.
What was special about this particular production in El Paso is that these individuals have a very strong connection to the event, obviously. So there was a lot of emotion around it.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The play Acts of Kindness, the El Paso play, grew out of the aftermath of the racist massacre at an El Paso Walmart 5 years ago. It was performed in El Paso on the anniversary of the shooting. Playwright Gregory Ramos had taught theater at the University of Texas at El Paso between 1999 and 2004. He returned to his community to talk to El Pasoans about the shooting. Acts of Kindness is told through those interviews and touches on gun control, immigration, and political polarization. Ramos explains how the play evolved over time until its staging this month in El Paso.
You know, it's an interesting process because I typically just go out and talk to people. I don't really have a structure in terms of what the piece is going to be. I let the interviews sort of dictate how the structure develops. And I love theater as a means of documenting, you know, a particular place and time and events and how people are feeling about, you know, our collective humanity around major incidences. But I just went down there and started talking to people, and then certain themes started emerging. And those themes, what I was able to translate into what became a structure for the piece.
And so who are the characters if somebody were to see this presentation? Because I know it's gone through several evolutions. It's gone through readings and it's been staged in El Paso. I'm curious mm-hmm. as to, you know, how these characters or their presentations have evolved into the most recent performance that you had in El Paso.
Well, great question. The original versions of the piece were more verbatim theater, where I was looking at what the interviewees were saying and sticking very strictly to their words. The more people I spoke to, it became, you know, obviously more challenging to create that multitude of characters. So as the piece developed, those interviews became inspiration to create some composites. So there are some characters in the play that are composites of various people that I spoke to that capture a particular theme or story. And then there are other individuals who are, or characters, I should say, who are the individuals I spoke to. Congresswoman Veronica Escobar is in the play. She gave an amazing and very generous interview. There's a man named Sal Purchase, who runs a very well-known mortuary, a funeral home on the border. And he was extremely generous in providing services to family members free of cost. After that incident, they did quite a number of services. So those are some examples of some people I spoke to. There's a journalist there named Robert Moore, who runs El Paso Matters, which is a news outlet and website there. And he gave an interview. So there are some individuals who are kind of well-known El Pasoans who maintain their presence in the play. And then the others, as I mentioned, are composites.
So tell us about how you were able to bring this play to the University of Texas at El Paso, which is where you previously taught.
I love this story. Great story. When I was there a number of years ago, it was my first academic position. And the first play that I directed was a piece called Real Women Have Curves by a writer named Josefina Lopez. I directed that play as my first play at UTEP. And one of the student actors in it was a woman named Adriana Dominguez, who went off to do her MFA in New York and returned to the border and is now a professor in the same theater department that I taught in. And we've kept in contact. And she actually was one of my, I think, the first interview I conducted when I went back to make this piece. So she's been connected with the piece and a big supporter of the piece. And I think she has been waiting for the right time to find a way to do the piece. And so she recently produced it with the support of a grant through UTEP, but also in collaboration with the Mexican American Cultural Center there in El Paso and the El Paso Museum of Art. What was special about this particular production in El Paso is that these individuals have a very strong connection to the event, obviously. So there was a lot of emotion around it. I think, you know, in talking to Adriana and Samantha, who was a co-director, there was a lot of emotion, and I think one of the most challenging elements of mounting the piece in El Paso was controlling, for lack of a better term, those emotions so that the actors didn't become overwhelmed and were actually able to be in character and convey the words of the text. So from what I understand, that was one of the biggest challenges.
And so when the performance was finally put on earlier this month, what was the reaction in the audience?
Wow, great question. I was there for one performance. I was able to go down to El Paso, and I saw a lot of tears. I felt the audience was very much with the piece. There's sort of a political aspect of the piece in that a number of the characters talk about Trump and Trump's rhetoric, and a number of characters draw connections between Trump's rhetoric and the actions that this shooter took. So there's a bit of a political piece, and I felt in the air that maybe there were some individuals in the audience who might be Trump supporters who didn't like that. A very small number of people left during the performance, and it was hard to tell whether the people left because they didn't like the political aspects of it or whether they left because it's really hard material. It's a challenging story, and it's a very painful story. And I don't think it's for all audiences. But the producers and directors of the piece were wonderful in that they made sure that people felt safe. There was a trained counselor on hand. There were tissues all throughout the audience. At the end of the show, it was one of the longest standing ovations I think I've experienced in my, I don't know, 40 some years that I've been doing theater.
Are there any plans to take it elsewhere outside of El Paso and outside of Los Angeles?
I would love to. In my academic position, we are planning a trip to the Edinburgh Festival, the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh in 2025. And if things pan out the way I hope they will, we'll be taking a student group who will perform this at the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh, which is one of the, you know, greatest international platforms for theater. So it would be wonderful if things work out the way I hope they do, that we'll be presenting this on an international level and we'll be able to, you know, share this story of what happened on the border with international audiences.
Obviously, everybody knows El Paso because of this tragedy, unfortunately, but it also is just such a local story. But as I've heard so many times, the more local it is, the more universal the themes are.
Exactly. That's a beautiful way of putting it. I appreciate that. And it reverberates for me because one of the characters in the play, and this was actually what one of the, you know, interviewees told me when I talked to them, was that, you know, we think that this is a story about El Paso, but it's not a story about El Paso. It's a story about America. This has happened in numerous American cities, and it's an issue that we still face. It's one of the major issues that is emerging in determining this next presidential election. And by that, I mean gun violence. So it's an issue that we're grappling with as a nation, and it's a story that is, in fact, universal.
And racist violence is something that has gone on for centuries, including against many Tejanos in Texas. And one thing that I remember when we were reporting the story, how many people who maybe were outside of Texas or even were inside of Texas, not familiar with the history, who did not know that there were decades and decades and centuries of racist violence against Mexican-Americans and ethnic Mexicans in the Southwest. So this was not a unique incident. This was just one chapter in a very long book that is no closer to an ending.
Unfortunately, that's very true. There's a historian at the University of Texas at El Paso named Yolanda Leva, and she, in response, or prompted, I should say, by the shooting, wrote a very powerful article that addresses exactly that. You know, she draws a trajectory over the last number of centuries, chronicling the violence that has been visited upon Latin people in the Americas. And it's a devastating story, and it's very unfortunate. And it's sad that this incident is added to that long string of unfortunate events.
Well, Gregory, sort of to change tacks a little bit, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about your inspirations behind your other works. Looking at some of the pieces that you've done, your heritage really does play a big role in influencing the plays and the works that you produce. Can you tell us a little bit about how your culture influences your writing?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I can't get away from it. You know, it's like, I don't know. When I was an undergrad at UCLA, I had a plan to complete my undergraduate work and go do a directing program on the East Coast. And I had studied with some amazing Latinx faculty at UCLA. And they said, you know, you're writing this stuff that is really like Chicano theater, all of your characters and the topics you're addressing. And they really encouraged me to think about doing an MFA in playwriting and staying at UCLA. And that's what I ended up doing. And thanks to their mentorship, I sort of focused in a different area. And I guess like any artist, we write what we are trying to solve or trying to figure out, right? I think in every piece I've written, you know, I've written a folkloric piece that is about immigration. I've done interviews about what it means to be LGBTQ+ on the US-Mexico border. I recently wrote a multi-character piece about an affluent Mexican-American family in LA who's visited by the devil. I think it's just part of my DNA, and it comes out in its various ways. I don't know what I can say other than I love my culture. I'm so grateful for my culture, and I love having the opportunity to make art that reflects the culture and celebrates it with pride to other individuals that are from the same culture, and maybe introduces ideas and concepts and art and imagery and language to others who aren't part of the culture.
Gregory Ramos is a playwright, director, and theater educator. He chairs the Department of Theater and Dance at the University of Redlands in Southern California. He's a former El Pasoan, having taught for 5 years at the University of Texas at El Paso. Ramos's play, Acts of Kindness, the El Paso play, was staged August 2nd through the 4th in El Paso. It commemorated the 23 people killed and the 22 injured 5 years after the massacre at an El Paso Walmart. It was the deadliest attack on Latinos in modern history. An early version of Acts of Kindness was a finalist in the 2021 Latinx Voices National Play Competition when it was presented as a virtual reading. See photos from the El Paso performances of Acts of Kindness at tpr.org. Thanks for joining us today for Fronteras. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Marian Navarro. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.
El Paso strong, El Paso strong, El Paso strong.